This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency, with information for business and IT professionals. For more information, advertising opportunities, and to download other shows, visit ciaops.podbean.com. This is episode 37 with Christian Buckley, and is brought to you by the Computer Information Agency. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ciaops.com. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. For this episode, I'm joined by Christian Buckley. Christian, how are you going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for inviting me along.
Excellent. And as we start all our podcast here, what we'll do is we'll throw across to the guest and get him to give us a bit of a intro about himself, what he does and where he's come from. So, Christian, if you want to let the listeners know.
Sure. My name is Christian Buckley. I am the formal title, the Director of Product Evangelism. I'm the software evangelist for Acceler. We're a gold ISV that we develop administration and governance software as well as migration software. My background, prior to this company, I was with Microsoft for 3.5 years. I was part of the team that created the hosted version of SharePoint and launched that out. So when I joined the company back in 2006, there was one company that was officially out on hosted SharePoint, Energizer. And so I helped kind of expand that out and build what is now the dedicated side, but part of Office 365. I should also mention, as of January this year, I've been a SharePoint MVP. I do quite a bit of speaking and traveling around the world, and was down in Australia and New Zealand earlier this year at the SharePoint conferences down in Melbourne and over in, where was that one? It was in Auckland.
Yep. This time.
Yep. But was able to do some other traveling, actually made my way over to Perth. Loved that trip.
It's a long way to Perth, isn't it? It's one of the most isolated capital cities in the world, I believe.
Yeah, it's the most remote big city in the world.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful out there. You know, loved it. I live in Seattle, and it reminded me a bit of that.
So. Interesting. I would have thought Seattle's full of water, where Perth isn't.
Well, but I mean, just kind of the size of the city and kind of the feel, the vibe of it.
Okay, interesting.
Prior to that, I was a consultant. I worked for a number of startups. I've been in the social collaboration technology space since the late 90s, and in knowledge management space. And prior to that, I've just have a long history, over 20 years of technical project management and product management. And that's me. As I said, I live out in the Seattle area. And
you enjoy the rain? No.
I do. I do. I'm from Northern California, and we moved away. Part of it for my my kids were sad to leave the swimming pool, but I got tired of for me always commuting, sitting in the hot sun all the time.
Well, I suppose you're close to the ski fields too.
Yeah, it's nice up here. I've only been skiing once since I've lived here, since 2004.
Oh well.
So that's kind of a sad story.
Yeah, something to set your sights on. The important thing is you've mentioned the two key buzzwords that really get my juices flowing. Obviously, SharePoint, number one, and Office 365. So that's what I've asked you to come along today to speak about. But SharePoint's such a broad topic, but the expertise, or basically what you want to again talk to the audience about, is something called SharePoint governance. So probably what we need to do is to frame the conversation is do you want to let people know, who may not be SharePoint people, but to explain to them what governance actually is?
Yeah, sure. It's one of these things that there's a lot of people out talking about it. I mean, it's kind of a big thing and can be difficult to kind of wrap your arms around. But I think SharePoint governance is kind of a misnomer. There's governance, and then there's what you need to do to manage SharePoint and execute your governance strategy. So governance is really that. You think of corporate governance as being the, what are our guidelines around which we will manage all of our systems to meet our business needs. And so if you think that your business need is not to deploy SharePoint, like, your goal at the end of the year is, well, we set up, you know, SharePoint. Yay, we're successful. It's standing up. Servers are buzzing. No, you're actually trying to deploy SharePoint to do something, to solve a business problem, to make your business faster, more efficient, more productive, whatever it is that you do in the day-to-day, better. And your governance strategy helps make sure that any of your systems and tools are following certain guidelines to make sure that they're optimized to meet those business goals. I always like to think of governance as kind of like flying a kite. And it's the governance is that string that some people complain that, you know, hey, you've got policies, whether it's you know, site limitations or different file types or the information rights management policies that you've set around the site where you're restricting how I can use the platform to collaborate with people on my team or my customers. But like a kite, you know, the governance rules, it might be those that thing the kite fights against, pulls back against. But by having those rules and those guidelines in place, it actually, you know, allows the kite to rise up and you know, kind of gain altitude because of that stress. Because what happens without the string is, you know, a gust of wind comes along and takes the kite and it eventually crashes to the ground.
So from, you know, again, the majority of people probably, you know, we can understand that from an enterprise, we've got lots of resources, but, you know, is governance, you know, something that the small to medium business should be paying attention to?
I think so, because if you look at the history of SharePoint, and everybody, you know, we use the analogy of the Wild West, and people have gone and installed. It doesn't matter. I mean, you have, if you have a paid or a, you know, a free version, WSS or Foundation, you know, governance is still a factor. Think of it broadly across your business. Whether you have 5 people or 50 people or 5,000 people that are in on your system, if you're actively using the platform, then you are going to want to set up some guidelines for how that system is used. Think of the search experience. If you've got 5 people in your company and you're uploading 1 or 2 documents a week, and that's the kind of the extent, doing a search on that environment is relatively simple. You've got a few different folders to go and look at. But as you start adding more and more content to that system, if you don't do it in an organized way, it becomes increasingly difficult to find any content. You know, we talk with customers all the time that, you know, I talk with customers at different shows and things that have fairly simple architected platforms. You know, the layout is just not very complex, but have a tremendous amount of content. And so, you know, having some simple guidelines for their information architecture and have it done in a way so that as the business grows, there's a logical, you know, way that that information architecture expands. It is something that you want to plan for. You know, again, if all you're doing is using Office 365 for partner interactions, and it's fairly lightweight today, you do want to put some thought into how that's expanded. And as you add additional customers or partners to that environment, maybe you're using it as an extranet environment, you do want to think about how are we capturing data here? Do we want to put a you know, a custom content type in place to manage this? Now we have a different partner or a different you know, part of the company that we're talking to customers about or your partners about. We might want to have a second content type. So governance is part of that you know, the guidelines you put in place that defines when is it the right time to go and make changes to the platform to support this growth.
Okay, so you know, we talk about governance. I mean, what's the simple way to achieve this governance? Do I just do a document? What's the best way to actually, you know, pull this together into something that I can refer to, you know, on a regular basis? Is it just documentation?
It can be. You know, I mean, I honestly steer clear of the implementation because that's where, you know, as an ISV, we sell software that helps people kind of manage, you know, enforce some of their governance policies and structure. You don't need to have a tool for every deployment. There's a lot of things that you can do out of the box. some people do approach governance as a checklist. I've gone in, I've done my design, check. I've gone in, I've set up my information management, my information architecture, check. And they go back and they reflect on that occasionally and update that document. I believe that governance is more of a it's an activity. It's an ongoing kind of living, breathing document. I encourage people to have a website where you might have your high level architecture defined, the various content types, definitions around the various templates that you might be developing. Have them in one place. Also have outlined who owns these things at each level. If you are in a growing organization on the larger end and you are starting to use managed metadata, have various custom content types, it does make sense to know who owns each of these pieces. That I may go into an organization. Well, I'll use an example. I was in a solution delivery team. I was a manager in operations at Microsoft, my last team that I was in, where there were two other project management teams that were doing similar activities. And these are teams of 5 to 10 people per team, but serving different parts of the organization, where we just realized that we're kind of recreating the wheel here. We need to have a centralized view of how we're doing project management. And so we had a conversation about consolidating our content types so that it was consistent across these three different teams. So that's just one example of we had this centralized place that defined here's what the content type looks like for the project management organizations. And so if somebody came back and said, hey, I have a request, the way that we're doing things today doesn't really fit, they were going to one place to have that conversation and to see, here are all the sites that are utilizing this content type, that are utilizing this information architecture, here's the structure, the layout of the managed metadata. They could go see it all, have a conversation, be able to know, okay, if we're going to make a change here, here are all the sites and the site collections that are impacted by these changes.
Okay, so a common question that I get and I see is obviously, as SharePoint adoption grows, people come from a simple environment, WSS, SharePoint Services 3 or whatever, yep, wanting to migrate to 2010 and potentially 2013 down the track. The perception is that, I can just, basically, if I'm moving between, say two different platforms, moving to Office 365, basically drag and drop the existing environment. But Microsoft's, I suppose, mantra is that there's no direct migration tool from one version to another. It is a bit of a manual process, but their philosophy is that they treat it like moving house. So when you move house, which is the analogy to the SharePoint upgrade, you don't put the picture in the same location, you don't put the furniture in exactly the same location, you throw some stuff out, you add some stuff, you take that opportunity to obviously update and reevaluate and all that sort of stuff. I mean, is that something you'd recommend in your experience?
Well, I think that is, whether your migration, we call it migration or versus upgrade. Upgrade is, I think, is kind of what you've described, which is, I know it's just a semantic point for most people, but an upgrade is I'm taking my existing platform and I'm, moving it up to the next version, where a migration, there's something that's changing as part of that move. It could be that you're moving from WSS over to a standard or enterprise version, or you're making changes to SQL, or even that you're consolidating multiple instances of SharePoint down into one. But in either way, to your point, to answer your question is, you can just move from A to B and leave the pieces there. And yes, you can do that out of the box. And there are plenty of third-party tools out there to help you manage that process. But that migration or upgrade is an excellent opportunity to go in there and clean up to fix things. And that's, I think, that probably one of the most common questions I receive about governance is, I'm already waist deep in a mess. It's kind of the Wild West. We're getting ready to move. You know, should we fix everything first? Should we move all of our content over and clean it up on the new system? Or when's the right time and how best to approach that? And again, there's no single answer that fits everybody. It's the famous, infamous, the SharePoint answer, which is it depends.
So, you know, when you've got the, you know, from the infamous SharePoint question, which I agree with, that's very, very common. Let's take it back to a user's point of view. You've got a user who, you know, can do the GUI stuff and, you know, and understands the business side of it and has been using SharePoint, you know, to some extent. Where do they go? What do they do it themselves? Should they go out and get a consultant? What are their options?
Well, I think that, you know, part of it is understanding what's been done, you know, to that point. If you think about it, if the organization was good, and even again, let's look at the example of that small organization that's growing, and maybe they're upgrading because they're expanding and getting ready to bring on people, or they've just merged with another team, or what have you. If there was an established governance strategy, a plan, whether it's a document that has these pieces outlined, or a SharePoint site within the environment that has outlined what the structure is, it's going to make that migration, that upgrade, much easier, because as you're expanding or consolidating other systems and bringing them in, you have a clear picture of what's there today. It'll help you better figure out, how do I plan this going forward? You can start asking those questions about, you're getting ready to move. What was not working previously? Well, you know, we're finding that search is difficult because our taxonomy was very lightweight. It wasn't very granular. Therefore, our content, everything's tagged pretty much the same way, and I'm not really finding anything. Well, there's an opportunity to go in there and work on, as part of that migration, expanding that taxonomy. And because if you have that documented, then you better have a better sense of where it was applied, where it's not being used, what sites that might be new that you create, which taxonomies, which term sets that make sense for them to utilize, which content types for those new sites to utilize. If you don't have that documented, then there's a lot of guesswork. You're going to do a lot of more trial and error of building that out. I mean, my advice to people is, you know, start where you are. You know, that it does, I think, save a lot of time doing cleanup on the old system before migrating over to the new, at least as you're doing that discovery process and figuring out what's there. You know, for the typical end user, if that's documented, to go and understand who are the stakeholders, who are the owners of that, start having the conversations. Is there a change management process in place that allows them to provide feedback into it? If they have no visibility into that governance process and what's been documented, that's a problem. Everyone should have access to that, be able to ask questions and provide input. If it doesn't exist from an end user standpoint, I don't know your corporate culture, but I'm of the belief that, you know, anyone can start that conversation. It's a little more of a project to go and get stakeholders on board, because the end user may not be the actual owner of that process, but establish a baseline. You know, try to determine, you know, what is the information architecture, what are the rules that we need to be monitoring and managing here. Think about it, especially, it doesn't matter what size you are, if you're in an industry that has some, has some rules surrounding it, if you have to meet certain information management, rules and regulations, policies on how the length of time that you're storing content, or, those kinds of things, you need to make sure that your system is meeting those minimum requirements. What is your audit process? All of those things should be documented. There's a place to start.
So in this case, and again, hopefully it's, you know, yes, you do need a SharePoint consultant, but is that something that the customer can do, or do they need an independent person to come in and say, look, you know, I understand your business and I understand the SharePoint stuff, and this is what you start to need doing, and this is the way we design it. Is that what they need? Do they need someone who's, you know, skilled with SharePoint?
I think it does. It certainly helps to have somebody who's skilled with SharePoint and can help navigate and set that up. You know, it depends on if you're starting from scratch. The governance policies that you establish may be consistent across all of your enterprise applications, not just SharePoint being one of those systems. I mean, if you have a CRM or ERP system or any other systems, you should have governance policies that regulate those as well. But to answer the question of do you need to have an external resource, a consultant, come in, it really depends on if you've got the skill set that has, you know, in-house and the availability.
So part of that probably, before you even look at engaging somebody to do that, you need to, as a business, have defined these sort of things in some way. It's no use getting somebody in and the first thing they're going to ask is, well, what's the definition of this and where's your governance for that? It would seem that as the business, you need to have those in place beforehand.
Yeah, you know, most skilled consultants that have done this, I mean, they're going to be able to draw that out. I mean, that's the whole project. The idea that a consultant's going to come in and wave a wand, or within, you know, X number of hours, just give you a packaged governance strategy. They may have a template. They may have done it dozens of times, but they're going to draw that out of your existing team anyway. So again, if you have somebody that has that skill set internally and who you can give up some time of their day job to run that process, most organizations either don't have the skill set or can't spare that person from whatever they're doing. And so the best route is to go and hire somebody. You're right. If there is, again, the beginnings of a governance strategy or one that was partially developed and you've dusted off, that is going to help move that process along more quickly. There are some things, there's some great content that's out there just online. If you search on SharePoint and governance strategy, you'll probably get inundated with hundreds of hits. So there's a lot of things that you can go and leverage today and get that ball rolling, and then hire somebody to come in and to get into the more granular, help you with your information architecture, help you set up the policies and ongoing management, and especially if you're in a regulated industry, to make sure that you have the change management and the auditing capability to, on a regular basis, go back and make sure that people are following the process that you might be legally bound to follow.
Okay, so if we move maybe from the migration side, and we've talked about this, I mean, my experience has been that one of the biggest challenges with SharePoint is generally around permissions. Okay, so yep. Again, it starts off in a perfect world, and we'll do everything right, and then as time goes on, the permissions get compromised, and quick, we'll just do this and add this user and add that user. Is that something that should be in your governance planning, or is that central to governance?
I think it is central to governance, just because, I mean, everything within SharePoint is around permissions. You know, if you've had any time spent with SharePoint, even people that are seasoned, you know that the first question always asked is, I'm unable to do something, it's not acting the right way. It's always that first question in my mind is, do I have the right permissions in this location to do what it is that I want to do? And so some organizations are very lightweight on the kind of the process and security around how they give out permissions. It's a common scenario where somebody needs temporary access to do something, to get something done, and an overworked administrator opens it up and gives them full access, and then forgets to go and revoke that access. And so as part of they're getting ready to migrate, or they're investigating a problem, and they find that, we have third-party tools and other fun downloads that have been installed I just instantly thought of like my teenage kids that have broken a couple different computers with, you know, programs, games from questionable websites. And it's not, maybe not quite that bad, but, you know, something like that, where part of the history of SharePoint is, I think it was also, you know, part of the viral component of what helped it spread with WSS is that people will get frustrated by their lockdown controlled portal, and so they'll go and install the free version themselves, and they'll play around with it and get what they want done, what they need done, and then what'll happen is a year, 2 years down the road, you know, IT is getting ready to do an upgrade, and suddenly realize that there's a bunch of quasi production systems out there, reports and tools that people have gotten used to that are on these kind of cottage IT, these rogue systems, and then IT is then left with the mess of trying to consolidate these various systems. And I see that over and over again. Yeah. And so,
sorry.
I can go on about that. But.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, the biggest challenge obviously is permissions, because I mean, maybe you can help. I mean, I've never found a simple tool that one could, you know, apply and say, you know, show me all the rights in this tree, or break it all out, or give me a graphic, a graphic picture. You can obviously go into different areas of SharePoint and view the permissions and, you know, check the, you know, who's got permissions here. But, you know, is there a tool that allows you to do this sort of auditing that's not a, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 tool? Is there something that can be easily applied to, for example, if I'm starting off in governance and I walk into a site and it's, you know, a bit of a, you know, a dog's breakfast, as we say, all over the place, is there a tool that I can run that will go through and say, look, these are the permissions at this level, these are the permissions at this level, and pull all those out?
Well, you know, and so now I get into an area. I mean, that's what my company is known for, is the permissions management, that side of it. Are there competitive tools? Are there things that are at the low end? I think, because the reality is that it's not an inexpensive tool. Of course, it depends on the size of your environment, but it's very powerful and does all those things. There are other third-party tools that are out there, some at the low end, some of questionable quality. I mean, that's if organizations are finding that the permissions management has just become painful, and it has for a vast majority of SharePoint deployments, there are options out there. I would say that you can go to some of the sites that are the popular environments that are out there, like Nothing But SharePoint, that, you know, there's always content out there and vendors who have another one to go and look at is SharePointReviews.com, that you can go and look at specifically permissions tools or administration and governance tools that have those features. I'm not familiar with all of the products that are at the low end of that area, but I mean, we've seen our business grow because it is such a problem.
Okay, so I mean, at the end of the day, there are tools out there. It's a matter of just finding, you know, the right one or the most cost-effective one. So it's good to know that there are, you know, tools out there.
Yeah, definitely. As far as the governance strategy, though, around permissions management, I mean, that's an issue. You know, again, you this is one of those things where you want to put, you know, guidelines for how these things are done. Again, the more controls you put on a system, and most people, they hear governance, they think of control, and permissions is a great, you know, example here. Is like, the more controls you put on a system, the less likely people are to use that system. And so you need to be flexible enough to recognize that somebody's coming in asking me for higher level of permissions. What is my process? Am I just shutting them down because they don't have the right title, or they're not in the right org, or, you know, somebody's trying to get something done? Do they need to have access, or is the root cause of the problem that they're having that there's just some other missing functionality that they're trying to solve? So, you know, as part of your governance planning, you do need to look specifically at, you know, what is the permissions process, and how easy it is for people to get the level of control that they need to get work done.
So let's extend this a little bit. You know, in an on-site situation where you've got SharePoint installed, generally it's got Windows authentication, so it's using your Active Directory to allocate permissions and manage identity and things like that. But when we move to Office 365, generally in the small to medium business, we're not going to have that identity, single sign-on. We're going to have to sign into a portal or web interface and then assign, the rights from there. Is that something different? Is that, does that create additional complications? I mean, is there any difference in the way that we treat an online system versus an in-house system in your experience?
No, I think it does add complexity. I think you've just identified that there's nothing natively in SharePoint today, either on either side, either on your on-prem or hosted dedicated SharePoint platform and Office 365 that lets you see across both. So if you're running both versions of that, or even Office 365 and is your only version of SharePoint that you're using, it's going to be a separate login. I mean, that's it's still relatively new. There's we're just not yet there. What Microsoft is doing, I think there's a statement that Jared Spataro, who's the senior director of the SharePoint product team, made at the Worldwide Partner Conference a month and a half ago in Toronto, was that they recognize that there is a gap around the governance and administration layer for SharePoint, and especially as SharePoint's doing more in the social realm. But certainly Office 365 falls into that gap. So, there are some third-party tools that allow you to manage from one place. They're not inexpensive.
So do you see this, is the permissions, in general, internal and external, is that becoming something that's easier, or is that becoming something that's more difficult as you get disparate systems? So you've got some of your infrastructure in-house, then you might have SharePoint up in the cloud. Is it getting easier? Are the tools improving that? Or is it, becoming more difficult because we're getting all these different systems?
It's something that's funny that, some of my first large projects that I did back in the day working for the phone company in Northern California were the building a single sign-on inside a Pacific Bell. It was, it was this thousands of employees, tens of thousands of employees, was building this one login to get into all of the tools. And even then, from a security standpoint, it got you in the front door, but then you had to have separate keys into each of the applications inside of that. It would just, so we've been working on solving that problem for a long time. It's something that Microsoft recognizes that they're trying to address the authentication models. They're trying to simplify that. They're even starting to play with some of the standards that are the non-Microsoft standards. I mean, the fact that you can, I think in the Yammer acquisition, I think is moving some of that dialogue forward in the SharePoint camp. The fact that you can use, use your Twitter or Facebook login to access another tool is, I think, a common method. So I think we're making some strides with 2013 and with Office 365, and we get a new version of Office 365 that's coming out this fall. So I think that's certainly something that is up front in Microsoft's thinking of one of those user experiences that needs to be improved.
Yeah, okay. So again, there can be challenges around it, but, they can be managed. I think that probably another big area that I see that needs governance, or there's a lot of requests around, or people start off with SharePoint and they start pumping more information into it, and they get their securities right and all that sort of stuff. But then down the track is they want to do some sort of auditing. They want to know what people are doing, or can they get in, or how is it being used? And again, that seems to be a bit of a tricky thing to set up and manage and get the information out of. I mean, is that your experience? Are there any?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think this the reality is that you've done any kind of digging on the back end. I mean, there's audit logs in a number of different places. If you're trying to look into any of the data captured from the social experiences inside SharePoint. It's in other places. It's not centralized. There's improvements in 2013, but it's there is a very healthy partner ecosystem of solutions that are able to go in and give you a single view into all of those logs and kind of parse through that and give it to you in a more consumable PDF report friendly way. But it's it's certainly something that I think Microsoft has been. They've not gone out and solved it in the native application just because of the partner ecosystem.
Oh, interesting. I mean, because I know in Office 365 there is an auditing function in there and available. But for example, we had a situation where a customer wanted to, wanted low-level audit logs. They wanted to know who was coming in and touching files and what pages they were on. And obviously, Office 365 couldn't deliver that because obviously the load it would place on individual servers. And again, a bit of a unique. Request, but seeing again this growth as the SharePoint systems become more and more critical to a business, that the I think I've seen generally that as you say, SharePoint starts as a side project, SharePoint starts as somebody's pet project, but then it gets adopted, gets taken up, and gets run, and suddenly it needs to grow up and become a normal information technology system with governance, with auditing, with all of that stuff around it. And that obviously makes it a lot harder to do it after the fact than do it up front. So basically what you're recommending, or you're basically saying in your experience, is that it's probably better to sit down and take the time and work this sort of stuff out and obviously keep it progressing as you go through the project, rather than waking up one day and thinking, geez, you know what, governance would be a really good idea here.
Right, and I think because you're going to learn as you go, you need to draw that line in the sand and start somewhere, because as you go along, it's never going to be 100% the right, perfect with that first attempt. It's as important to have a change management process through which you can take feedback from your team. If you've got multiple admins, listen to them and adjust as you go. And again, if you have it documented, whether it's an actual document or if it's a site that has captured this information, so you know as if you're going to modify a content type or add an additional content type and figure out who owns those things, who's responsible for them, who is in actively managing your taxonomy, your overall metadata strategy, so that if you've got questions, I know that, okay, we need to make a change to the content type that legal is using. Oh, that's managed by Susan. Let's talk to her, give her the requirements for this, have that modified so she can make sure it gets implemented on all the sites where it's being used. I mean, you can have that conversation if you have started. If you've otherwise, it can feel like this one massive effort, all at once, to try and catch up. And even then, you'll then be starting. And then there will be changes, there will be edits, there will be, massaging of what you roll out, no matter how long you try to defer that initial effort. And on the topic of Office 365 that you mentioned, yeah, there is more that's automated there. If you think of Office 365 as being a product where SharePoint is a platform, Office 365 is a packaged product. I know that Microsoft might not entirely agree with that classification, but it's a packaged release of SharePoint, and they've gone in and they've done a great job on the admin side, and I think that we're going to see more of that kind of capability finding its way back over into the on-prem version as with a going forward, just because it is needed. And then it's, of course, all of the partner ecosystem needs to then pivot on those changes and find ways to stay relevant and do more powerful, more compelling features on top of that. But I think it'll be a good thing overall to make more of those kinds of audit and reporting capabilities native inside the product.
Okay, so, you know, again, we're talking about all this governance, all this, you know, good thing which we can apply to things like document libraries and lists and all this, you know, all this sort of stuff we've talked about. But one of the big changes or additions to SharePoint from this point, from 2010 on, has been the social implication, you know, the social you know, networking part of it. I mean, isn't that a bit of the Wild West? How can we apply some sort of governance around social? Aren't we trying to encourage people to put as much information into these sort of systems now?
Yeah, and that's going to be a difficult story until we see some of how Microsoft is planning to integrate with Yammer. I mean, there are some capabilities that are available in Yammer, you know, certainly with the features in 2013, the communities and the expanded My Sites capability. You know, that data, you know, any action that you take, anything that happens, there's a log somewhere of that, you know, of that change, of that activity. 2013 makes it a little bit easier to access that information, centralizes some of that information. But with, you know, specifically with the Yammer, I mean, until we see what the integrations look like, how data is being stored, where it's being stored, how you manage your permissions across your SharePoint and the Yammer communities, we don't know how to answer that. There's going to be a gap for a while. We'll have to see. Hopefully, we'll see more at the SharePoint conference in November. You know, specifically around that, to see what direction Microsoft's going to take.
Yeah, I think again, it's you know, it's one of these things that you know, potentially if you don't do it, then you know the employees or whoever's using SharePoint are going to drift into, you know, potentially third-party systems and other ones that don't live within inside the walled garden. So, not only you've got distraction, but you also have the fact that potentially information that would benefit the organisation is being placed into third-party systems, which aren't taking advantage of being indexed and being kept and having policies and procedures applied around them. So yeah, look, it's obviously a huge challenge. The whole social media area in all aspects, not just within SharePoint, is a huge thing. And it's, you know, you want to encourage the free form use, you want to encourage the expression, but again, how do you apply governance and policies and procedures and doing the right things over the top of that? Now, the advantage I see with SharePoint and going forward is that because it's in a system and it has all the SharePoint controls and auditing and that's going to be much easier to control and much easier to manage and apply policies than running it in a third party system. So the chances of success are probably a bit greater. It'll be interesting to see again, you know, whether these sort of features are used and how organizations do, you know, do sort of adopt them. I think, you know, that there's a huge challenge around there.
Well, I think that's the difference that, I mean, what you've just described there, I think you're exactly right. I mean, as I said, Jared Spataro was very clear. He had two sessions. His second session around was specifically talking about social and the Yammer acquisition. And he made that comment about recognizing that there's a gap that they need to address around governance of those new features and capabilities. So I think that's very telling. But, you know, everything that you just described, I mean, that is the difference between the consumer version of these various tools that are out there. They really are positioned for the consumer market versus enterprise. And one thing that, you know, SharePoint may have been, you know, may continue to be, you know, criticized for not being as bleeding edge with its social capabilities. However, if you go and look at, and I sound like such the fanboy here, yes, I am a SharePoint MVP, but you know, I try
You're excused.
I also try to also just be realistic about what's out there. But there are some fantastic consumer-based technologies out there. But SharePoint, as far as enterprise, does a pretty good job. Could they do better? Yes. Do there need to be more controls and auditing and management of all of those? Yes. That. And they're going down that path. But again, I go back to that, you know, kite analogy, is that you want to have the control there because, you know, at the end of the day, and this is the key to governance, you need to be able to tie back your activities and the management of the systems to the goals of the business. And these consumer, you know, these consumer tools that are out there in the social space, it is questionable sometimes the value of many of their features to the enterprise. It's great for the individual. In fact, there's an article that's just out there. I don't have it open on my desktop here, but that was just pushed out there about about CIOs that are saying no to Dropbox. Great article that's out there. If you go and look at CIO, search on CIO and Dropbox. But you know, again, that idea that there's security risks around IP. And the way that Microsoft approaches social is that they're thinking about that CIO, the CIO fears, the needs for management of those things. And if you can then set up an environment that answers those concerns, that addresses those risks, and then within that realm allows people to freely go in and collaborate, but doing it in a secure way, that is going to find success within the enterprise. That is what's going to scale SharePoint in the, you know, in this space and be viewed as one of the leaders, if not the leader, in enterprise social because of the controls and the governance around those environments and that, and you know, the way that people collaborate.
Well, I think again the important thing you indicated is that it's not just going to be a Microsoft issue. It's something that all they're facing, no matter what the platform is. But one of the things that you do, you know, have to applaud SharePoint with and Microsoft in general, again, playing the fanboy role, as you say, is at least, you know, they have recognized that they are addressing it. They're not sort of sweeping it under the carpet. They're doing the best they can. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to have all the stuff that people want immediately. But you do look at, you know, the acquisition with Yammer. You do look at what's coming with, Wave 15 SharePoint. So one of the things I see is, for example, is the community site. So you get now a template that you can create a community-based sub-site that allows you to have, you know, ratings and forums and badges and, you know, all these sort of things that we see in a lot of other places. So you do have to give Microsoft some kudos for, you know, listening and putting these sort of things in. I think in a lot of cases, it's a case of people perhaps not investing the time with the tool and learning it and again, you know, doing some stuff up front rather than just charging in and basically making, you know, a bit of a mess. I mean, I know that's generally the case and customers and, you know, are time poor, but I think if there's anything to be said from this conversation in general that people should take away, it's that, you know, a little bit of planning up front can just save you so much time and money down the track when you're going to start building this infrastructure or this big structure potentially on top of anything, but especially SharePoint.
Definitely. I mean, I'd say that I know it's very cliche, but, you know, you fail to plan, you're planning your failure. And that's so much the case with SharePoint. My first presentation I ever gave to an audience as a Microsoft employee back in 2006 was I co-presented on the topic of implementing governance after the fact. So you're already in the thick of it. And here I am, you know, 6 years later talking about the same thing. These are fundamental issues. It's not just a SharePoint, you know, issue. I've worked in other platforms, other knowledge management environments, and it's the same issue. I did a presentation for the taxonomy boot camp out in DC, where a very small slice of folks were SharePoint folks, all these library sciences people standing around talking about taxonomy and governance, the two hot topics. And all of the problems that they identified for whatever systems, open source or private, that are out there, all of the exact same issues that we're talking about.
And I think, you know, again, one of the things is if you're looking to implement this or you're looking to, you know, improve this, I mean, chances are, you know, you may already have SharePoint, or if you don't, access to the functionality SharePoint provides is now really cheap through Office 365. So again, apart from all the document management and all the other niceties, it has got the bones and the structure that you can build this governance, this sort of thing on top of. That's what it's there for. It just requires a little bit of design work up the front. So I think that's another big advantage of a platform like SharePoint for all businesses, is that, you know, sort of out of the box, it's ready to support that and assist you in doing that. You obviously still have to put a bit of work in yourself, but generally done properly, it actually makes things, you know, a lot easier.
Yep, it definitely does. You just be aware of what's happening, don't assume that you could just put things on autopilot and go in there and it'll do it for you. Especially if you're upgrading, migrating over to a newer version and things are broken in the old system, just simply moving over to the new doesn't solve any of those problems. There's just fundamental things that you can do to make your life, administering your overall environment easier just by documenting and, kind of simplifying your management life of SharePoint by figuring out what's there, what are people doing, and looking at ways of kind of optimizing how people are using the platform.
So the takeaway is don't trust the machines.
You don't trust the machines.
You've got to keep an eye on them all the time. You never know when they're going to rise up, and it'll be Judgment Day and Skynet.
That's
so,
right. Yes.
Yeah. Just that's the one takeaway from today's show. You know, SharePoint will help you, but just keep an eye on it. You know, it's a great friend, but yeah, just got to keep an eye on it. So I think that it's great that we've covered all this governance stuff, and we've included all these other options, and basically we've done the fanboy show and waved the flag a bit. If we can turn our attention maybe to, as we're getting towards the end of our time here, what do you see? I mean, not everybody out there has seen the latest SharePoint, what it's doing, where it's going. You as an MVP obviously have a bit more of an insight potentially into where it's going, what's happening, its development cycle in the background, where the emphasis is. I mean, what would you tell people, firstly about the direction SharePoint's going, and then secondly is that, for those of people who haven't explored the options, why is it, beneficial to be using a tool like this inside your business, either on premises or via something like Office 365?
Well, I think when I first saw the latest version, got a sneak peek back earlier this year as part of the MVP Summit on Microsoft Campus, and some of the things that stood out to me very simply. I mean, I love the Office integrations, the ability to kind of drag and drop content into a document library, getting away from sometimes the painful experience of opening up the right context menu to be able to edit a web part on a page. It's much simpler, much more fluid and streamlined. Of course, you have the desktop theme, formerly known as Metro. I don't know what it's called now.
It's called the Prince interface.
Yeah, that's,
it used to be called Prince, and who knows what it's called now.
The Prince theme.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that part I really like. I mean, there's definitely a huge focus on web content management. It was a criticism of, I think the 2010 was that it was painful to do for anything public facing, internal or external, private or public facing, websites, and Microsoft saw an increasing number of external websites being built with SharePoint. There are some fantastic websites that are out there. You have no idea that it's even SharePoint. But a lot of the WCM functionality that's been added in, of course, the ability to use from a design standpoint, whatever tools that you use, your web dev guys do for your look and feel. You may go outside of Microsoft technologies, design the look and feel, but you have the ability to design, where you do all the rest of your visuals, and kind of bridge that over to SharePoint. So it makes the branding side of it much more powerful. Other cool features. I'm doing a session here this next month. I'm going to be over in Europe doing multiple events where I'm talking about productivity features in 2013, 2010 and 2013. And so there's a number of things. There's not a lot that has changed necessarily around kind of the ECM features in 2010. And so I'm still playing around with some features to understand what's been expanded upon. But the probably the biggest change I think that people are going to need to adapt to is the app model. So, and the whole idea there is kind of, and you mentioned like the bring your own device, the consumerization of IT. People want to be able to go and they have access to the SharePoint environment, but you and I may be in the same organization, but consume data that's available to both of us in a very different way. If I can go into, we work at the same company, if there's a company app store that I can go into and drop pieces that pull data from different places. I mean, think of it as the web parts drop these apps into, my view of the environment. It allows us both to work in the same place, but work in the way that best fits our own styles and our own data needs within that environment. I think there's Microsoft is going that direction that allows you to consume from any device. So you have the ability to go in and as you're building out your SharePoint environment, if you have people that are accessing content on their mobile phones, or if they've got a Surface device available or an iPad, that you're able to build a site that automatically recognizes and transforms for those different user experiences. That's a huge change. SharePoint 2010, it was decent. I know there's a lot of people that did a lot of presentations from iPads on SharePoint, and there were some limitations there. And Microsoft has done a lot of work to try and remove those limitations and make a consistent experience across whatever device that you use. So those are kind of the standouts that I see in 2013.
Okay. And obviously, why should people, adopt SharePoint? People who aren't SharePoint, haven't really seen it, may have heard of it. Hopefully they've listened and they're beginning to understand some of it. What's the pitch to them? Why should they be using it?
Yeah, I think that the there's a lot of tools out there that are that are useful. You can find a lot of functionality in, and but that are much more focused in one specific area. Without naming competitors, but what SharePoint is as a platform, it's very flexible in what you can build it to be. It is SharePoint as a platform, not a canned product. You go and install SharePoint. You install it out of the box. There's a lot that it can do out of the box. And it's some specific use cases that right away you can have a team up and running, sharing content, building dashboards, connecting it to kind of transactional systems, like maybe you have a ticket tracking system and you want to pull data in and be able to monitor or connect to your CRM platform and be able to show that in one place. There's a lot of flexibility in building out your portal or your team sites to meet the needs of your organization, much more so than any other platform on the market. So it's just very highly customizable, very flexible, very dynamic, and it is fairly easy to use. Now the learning curve is you're trying to do complex things like integrate with a line of business application like your CRM platform. Yeah, there's some knowledge that needs to be in place there. But for, it's that 80-20 rule. 80% of the functionality that you need, it's very easy learning curve there. It's just very usable.
Yeah, look, and I think that for me, the big thing that I like to remind people of and make sure that they understand is that SharePoint, in a lot of cases, is really now just an extension of Office. It integrates very well with Outlook, with Excel, with all the OneNote, all these sort of Office tools. So again, it's not a product or generally something isolated on its own. Again, you get the most functionality, the most power, the most productivity when you use it with your desktop application. So I think,
definitely. I mean, case in point would be, integrating your Outlook and your calendars with your SharePoint calendars. So you can have, like a project management site that has a team calendar, and you can sync that with your Outlook calendar and just automatically have that, you know, side by side or a blended view of those your project activities with your day-to-day activities. So you don't even have to go into SharePoint for everything, have that integration out inside Outlook where you work. And then, as you said, all the other Office features, things just light up as you have Office and you know, Link with all the presence awareness and kind of all those other Office capabilities. It is a fairly powerful platform when all used together.
Excellent. Well, I think, like I said, we need to just keep an eye on the time, and we're drawing back to the end of our hour here. And I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank Christian for you know, staying up late and helping us do the podcast. It may sound like an hour-long commercial for SharePoint, but I'm sure that everybody did get some value out of that. And to finish off, Christian, what we'll do is just get you to let people know how to get in contact with you, how to follow you, keep up with the information that you're providing, in case they have any questions.
Sure. And I mean, I feel free to email me directly. My email is cbuck, C-B-U-C-K, at acceler.com, and it's A-X-C-E-L-E-R. I'm also, you can follow me on Twitter at Buckley Planet, and you can also follow my blog. I write about a lot of non-SharePoint things on my blog at buckleyplanet.com.
Excellent. Well, again, we'll thank Christian for his time. We'll also thank everybody who's tuned in to this episode. Don't forget to obviously stay tuned for future episodes. But for this one, we'll call it quits. Thank you very much for listening. This podcast has been brought to you by the SharePoint Operations Guide. For more information, visit www.wssops.com. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.